Name with Lisa Stansfield all around the world ahead of that one. And in the studio with me right now, as we speak, I'm very happy to announce that my special guest, Tash B. Tash Barnard, has arrived. Bang on time, very prompt, punctual. Nice to see you again, Tash.
Hello, Dave. Good morning, everyone.
And yeah, I mean, you have become kind of an institution in the world of Pilates, but I see you've been branching out recently into influencing and, generally speaking, becoming a bigger brand, which is cool.
Oh my gosh.
So let's talk about, I mean, you've been very instrumental in spreading the gospel of Pilates for almost since it became a popular thing, or even before it became popular. You probably were instrumental in its popularity in this part of the world, certainly. Where did it begin for you?
So, Dave, I remember so clearly, actually, when Andre and I decided to move to Belito, which is now 19 years ago, coming to do a little recce to see what, you know, what Belito is all about and what's happening in the fitness industry. And back in the day, there were only two gyms here, two fitness facilities. It was the You Investing for Health at the Well, and then the Locker Room at Food Lovers at the Circle. And I had my brochures, and I had my business plan and my vision board and all the things, and no one knew what Pilates was in this town. I was like, this is it. This is going to be where we're going to base ourselves. And yeah, now fast forward 19 years later, we've got so many awesome Pilates studios in this town. So yes, it's growing.
It's become a very popular form of exercise for various reasons, which we'll get into. But it can't have been easy to get established. You know, in Belito, you're talking about 19 years ago, it was a very different animal, Belito. It was a tiny little, almost retirement village, almost exclusively holiday retirement. It wasn't really a center where people came to live and work. And I would imagine that most people in the sort of exercise demand category would be younger folk that want to stay in shape.
Yeah.
So here it was. You arrived in Sleepy Hollow, Belito, with a fresh idea. And I'm sure it must have been quite tough to get going. And I say that because I remember people trying to start all sorts of things that failed to thrive, because I know the North Coast, Durban, North and South, and KZN in general, it's very slow to get anything off the ground. And you've got to have persistence.
Yeah, so you know what happened to me, and I just want to go back to your comment about becoming an influencer. I wrestle with that because I feel I'm such a community person, such a community builder, and that is the reality around how I got to where I am today. I remember when the Get It magazine, which was they used to have this diary for the month ahead in a calendar format in the magazine, and I remember reaching out to the Get It and had a interview with Leah. I mean, this is before social media was a thing. I don't even think I had a Facebook or Instagram page back then. But I sat with Leah, and International Pilates Day is celebrated in May, and she popped that into the Get It magazine as an event. And the day I opened my studio doors, which was the first week of May, I had six people signed up. And it just grew from there. So, you know, it's literally was I was leaning into what was offered in our small town. And the support and the unity was already there from the beginning.
And clearly you've built on that. But it can't have been, when I say can't have been easy, six people is wonderful. But you can't really live on the revenue from six people. So I say it must have been very tough.
Yeah, look, I think my situation was so different. Andre and I lived overseas, so I was in a position, you know, to use the money that I earned overseas to set up my studio and pay my equipment off and stuff like that back in the day when I was just a one-man show. Okay. And I think just, you know, God's hand of favor in all of that and how the business has grown with an incredible team. You know, we are a service-based industry, so we sell time. And at the end of the day, it's what our value, what we are standing for, that has brought us to where we are today. It's not a one-man show. It's a community thing. It's a team thing.
And you say that you were overseas for a while, building the capital to get your obviously that stood you in good stead. But I know that you actually come from a small town yes. background. Where did you grow up?
I actually grew up in Virginia in the Free State. And so crazy, we were actually just there 2 days ago on our way back from Kimberley from a rugby tournament. And yeah, I grew up in a small town that was, you know, very similar to Ballito, where community was everything. I'm very grateful that we are on the North Coast where things are thriving and growing and improving, because in Virginia today, things are not growing and thriving. It's very stagnant. But
Have you still got family there?
My folks are there. They're in the process of retiring, selling their businesses off. So yeah, it was quite a heartfelt moment to go back there. It wasn't planned. It wasn't part of our trip.
Oh.
But yeah, we ended up making a trip of it.
You know, sometimes people from small towns have got so much more going for them than folk that come from the more cosmopolitan big world. And I think it's because small towns, you had to often make your own entertainment, you had to make your own fun and adventure. And generally speaking, I think it's fair to say back when things were, shall we say, possibly not quite as complex as they are now in our society. In a small town, you could be, as a kid, you could be free to get into all sorts of adventure, shall we put it this way. Were you quite an adventurous kid?
Oh, 100%. I was that girl that was taking an opportunity to do everything to the max. I mean, I was telling my kids this weekend that I used to ride motorbikes with the boys. I was the only girl that used to ride a motorbike 11 kilometers to school in high school. And at primary school, I used to cycle 7 kilometers to school and back. You know, I think that's what small community does for you. You have the people around you, and you plug in, and you support and help and back each other. And that's essentially what we have here as well.
It's different, though, and you wouldn't find, and I don't think, too many kids riding 7 kilometers to school and back these days.
No.
I believe Ashton the other day had an excursion to the Lifestyle Center. They hired a bus from the Lifestyle Center to, from Ashton to the Lifestyle. It's literally not even a block.
I know. But what I mean is the community element of it, like how we, you know, how you learn how to rely on people and back people and support people in a small community environment.
Yeah.
No, the lifestyle aspect of it is very different to how we grew up.
And in conversation earlier, you mentioned, and you alluded to a very powerful tenet of your being, and that is your faith. You are a deeply connected to matters spiritual individual, which is interesting because you are well and truly established in the realm of the physical exercise, beauty, fashion, and yet you have old-fashioned values. Is that fair enough? Is it fair to say?
I don't know if Christianity or having a relationship with God will ever be out of fashion or be dubbed as like new fashion or old fashion. But I think just, that is...
Where does your faith come from? Have you always been believer?
I grew up in a Christian environment, but I don't think I ever had this deep relationship of understanding or feeling what it is like to serve something that is greater than myself. And I think the biggest game changer for us in our environment at home is when Andre gave his life to the Lord. That was such a pivotal moment in our life because, you know, the husband's role is to lead. And with him having this incredible encounter with God has just shifted our lives into something so much greater and so much more beautiful than the flesh.
What was at the core, the start of that? Often people come to a deeper understanding of faith through great adversity, through personal struggle, through something that's happened that is just literally shaken the foundations of their world to the point where they become, I think there's a word, humble, which means teachable enough to accept that maybe there is something bigger. I don't know. What was it like for you?
Yeah, so I think just so to take you back to that moment that he encountered God, I was actually overseas on a work trip. And our kids were small. I think our son was maybe like 4 months old and Asia was maybe 2.5 years old. And I arrived home with a Bible next to his bed. And it was so strange for me. But that evening, we actually sat and he just broke down and said he's had this incredible encounter and God's gripped his heart and he wants to change the way of his lives. And to be honest with you, our marriage was quite destructive. Is that the right word? It was quite a mess at the moment in that time when our kids were so little. And he had this deep encounter and he changed his ways. He made better choices. He, you know, honored me. He honored the fact that I had a thriving business. He started serving. We joined a church, Link Church, which has shaped a lot. The leadership at the church has shaped a lot and still is shaping a lot of how we do things in life.
Which would explain your music choice for our conversation today. Of the three songs you've chosen, two of them are Hillsong tunes.
Yeah.
Let's take a listen to the first one, shall we? Hillsong, Awake My Soul. Clearly a song with a message, a special choice for Tash B's interview on 88FM. You're changing. You see how you change things. Hey? You bring religious music into a world of secular, generally speaking, commercial hit music. And religious music tend to be different genres, but you find a way to mix them up. Well, I think they sound, it sounds lovely.
Do you feel alive in your soul, Dave?
I feel alive.
Come on.
There we go. Yeah, you see, I grew up, you grew up in a small town. I grew up in a small town. And it's interesting how it definitely shapes you. And I we were just talking off air about how one, I think it's fair to say you have fond memories of, if you've had if you've been blessed to have had a happy childhood.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
those childhood memories always will be special. But the sad thing is when you go back to these small towns in South Africa and you see what's become of some of them.
Yeah.
Small town is not the small town I grew up in anymore.
Eye-opening moments. It also makes us grateful for what we have, right?
Of course
it's
does.
Perspective.
Yeah, absolutely it does. I wanted to segue back. You clearly, the Pilates industry has been your weapon of choice in which to take on the world and build a life. How did you get into Pilates? Because it, as I understand it, and especially when you started in Belito, it was a fairly undiscovered form of exercise.
Yeah, so I think for our listeners, just to educate people that Pilates is not a new thing. It's not a trend. It was actually developed over 100 years ago by a man called Joseph Pilates. He sadly never trademarked his work, so there's a lot of different types of training schools out there. But certainly my story of how I got into Pilates was I was always going to be a dance teacher. I grew up dancing in the Free State, and I always wanted to have a dance studio, and it was always my goal. I actually went to Pretoria after school and studied at Pretoria Technikon dance department.
Oh, you studied dance?
Yeah. And it was my goal to actually go back to my small town and open up a beautiful world-class Pilates studio, ballet studio. But a friend of mine told me about this course that was offered actually at the Technikon, and her words to me, and I'm going to quote her, she was like, Tashi, you need to go and do this course. It's called Pilates. It will open doors for you. And I thought, oh, I might as well. I had no other goals to complete my dance education. I already had that and my teachers and my advanced. And I stepped into this Pilates studio and I was just hooked from day one. And then shortly after that, I ended up doing my international qualification, which is the same course that we offer in my studio here in Salt Rock, a teacher training course that is globally recognized called BASI Pilates. That stands for Body Arts and Science International. And the rest is history. I went overseas. I worked in many different studios, from Hong Kong to Salzburg in Austria, in London. I also worked in Dubai. And then Andre and I decided to come and settle here.
Wow.
Yeah.
So the world is your oyster, because from here you still travel and take Pilates to the far corners of the world. You say it started 100 years ago, and I have an idea that it was as a kind of almost post-war recuperation of injured service personnel because a lot of it was bed-based.
Yeah, so actually, so Joseph Pilates, his mom was a naturopath or a homeopath, as we would know in today's world, and his dad was a circus performer, and he was born a very sick child. So he got obsessed with the human movement, observing babies and animals specifically within his mom and dad's professions, and started developing this method for himself, which then translated with him working with the injured during the World War, and then moving to New York and opening a studio, and then working with the high-end Broadway dancers and actors to rehab them, and that's how Pilates got its name.
Okay.
Yeah, he actually referred to it as contrology, because he believed you can control your body with your mind, which sounds amazing. In today's modern world, we speak this language. But think back to before the days, before we had Google and access to all this information, it was quite profound. He was so ahead of his time.
Well, what, in essence, makes Pilates so attractive for you?
So for me personally, it's the way it makes me feel. I mean, I just turned 50. I feel amazingly organized in my body. And when I say organized, I feel like I can move freely. I don't have pain. I don't have injuries. And then also I see what it's doing for my clients. And, you know, talking about the studio turning 19 next month, we have clients that have been with us from the beginning. They are well into their 60s. They get to play with their kids. They will send us photos from Mauritius where they're on the beach, kneeling, lunging, throwing a ball. And for me, that's the beauty. That's why I keep showing up, is because I see physically on a daily basis how what we do in the studio is impacting people's lives every day.
But there are all sorts of forms of exercise that do similar stuff. Pilates is different, though.
Pilates is different because, again, I'm going to refer to the method that we teach in my studio, because there are so many different methods out there. We actually just had two Sharks players come and do Pilates with me, which is why I was so almost on but late. We were just talking about the value that the method brings to every type of body. Yeah, I just worked with two high-performing athletes. The hour before that, I had a group class where there were ladies of different ages in the class, new people, the older generation, but they can move so well because we address the body as a whole. We stabilize, we strengthen, and we stretch all the joints.
And you can start from a point of almost nowhere,
Absolutely.
As I understand it, which is what makes it attractive across the board. A lot of folk are intimidated by exercise because it's painful for them, and also because possibly they don't want to be seen to be so out of condition that everyone's going to chuckle behind their backs.
Yeah.
And Pilates, as I understand it, you come as you are from where you are. You start from a point of wherever you happen to be, and you make small incremental differences, changes. Yeah. And it is that small incremental change that ultimately brings you back to a point, as I understand it, again, I'm hardly an example of what we're talking about, but I have done a couple of your classes and found it to be like that.
Yeah.
It's kind of non-judgmental.
Yeah.
And it's not, you don't feel intimidated by the environment.
Yeah.
Because generally speaking, and I'm sure that you do group classes where it isn't like this, but I think for many, it's almost one-on-one initially, the introduction to it.
Yeah.
And it's very sympathetic.
Yeah.
And you get results very quickly.
Yeah. I think just a few things there for me, Dave, is it's very important that people understand that their instructor needs to be educated to work not just with the physical body anatomically, but to read their client well. We are all very different. So if you can understand your client's goals and their needs and understand how they receive the information that you are sharing with them, because essentially for us at Tashbee Pilates, our main mission is to educate our clients about their bodies so that they can move freely forward in life regardless of what they do on a day-to-day basis. Again, I'll use the extremes of someone sitting behind a desk having a tech life versus a high-performance athlete. We teach the same Pilates to them, but it's the approach that makes it better So it's to know your client, know your people. The other thing is, I lost my train of thought now.
Well, I'll hopefully get you back on your train of thought by asking you this question. Are there any examples that you could think of where Pilates hasn't worked and you've had to say it's not for you?
I don't think I've ever had to say that to someone. I mean, it is really up to us to bring out the best and do our best for the client.
The reason I ask that is because you come from a dance background.
Yeah.
And clearly, there are people who want to dance and have always given it their all, but really just don't have the talent.
Yeah.
And there's no escaping.
Yeah.
You need talent in that arena as well as passion.
Yeah.
The passion without the talent is just, you'll never get anywhere. Yeah. In Pilates, I would imagine, if you're going to be working at the highest level as an instructor, you've got to have talent and passion. But for your clients coming to you that really and truly are never going to dance the Gazotska or run the Comrades Marathon, you're a real flop. and you must have people that wear you down because you know that they're just not doing it because they're bloody lazy.
You know what? I think in our environment, because we are so intentional in our one-on-one training or two-on-one training in that small environment, it is really, again, up to the instructor to bring out the best in the client. We need to teach people that they can trust their bodies again. So the exercise selection is not going to be the exercises that you would select for a dancer versus something that is more achievable for someone that is not used to moving.
And can you work through injury and pain and disability?
Absolutely, not through pain. In Pilates, traditionally, we will work before the pain kicks in if we are nurturing a rehab body. And we also work very closely with medical practitioners that guide us as into what that specific body that needs the rehab should and shouldn't be doing. And again, that's going to bring me back to community, right? We've been here for 19 years. We've built relationships with incredible local physios, chiros, orthopedic surgeons. The neurosurgeons are referring people to us of late from Umhlanga to the studio here in Ballito.
Neurosurgeons?
Yes, because we are neurologically repatterning the movements or the muscle recruitment of the body. So it's such body-mind work. It's not just movement. Got to understand how your body needs to work.
Interesting. Let's take another musical break for a moment while you gather your thoughts, get back on track. This one, it's a tune called Rise. Why did you choose this one?
So I actually chose the song. Sam Felt, Andre and I had the incredible opportunity to go to the Maldives last year on a two-week working holiday. And Sam Felt was the DJ, was actually my client, him and his wife.
Wow.
Yeah, so there was just this connection.
Personal connection.
He's so cool.
Sam Felt's remix of Callum Scott's Rise. And for you, that has obviously the personal connection, having been to the Maldives on a working holiday and having connected with the rich and famous and are flying that flying lifestyle is marvelous, but you're very grounded. You come back to Ballito and you're passionately involved, as you say, with your community, your church.
Mm.
And you were saying how interesting it is that you've had people coming out from Europe to train with you or to study with you, and they can't believe that you have a Pilates studio in a church, and the church has got a gym and a coffee bar, and it's gigantic, and it's tech, and it's all sorts of things. Because for people in Poland, you mentioned, religion is quite dark, especially Easter. Very, very serious. Yeah. Thou shalt not have any fun.
Yeah,
thou shalt be scared.
No, they were blown away. They were actually blown away, Dave. It was around Easter last year that there were three Polish girls that came to visit the studio, and they actually just couldn't believe that there was such joy around the Easter time. You know, and when I unpacked it with them, they explained to me, like, their their church life is very dark. And then Easter for them is all about the death and the blood, and no one is allowed to smile. Where it is the opposite. Like, Christianity should be enjoyed, not endured, right? So we've got breath in our lungs. We've got this life that we get to live. Why not live it with joy and excitement?
So this would explain why you have been recruited by many as an influencer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, I see you at all the big functions looking like a model.
Oh, my goodness.
In fact, you and your husband, Andre, you tend to coordinate your outfits. You always...
No, we're not. We do not do that intentionally.
Well, it's happened a few times. Very good. And you have wonderful events like your birthday at the beach, all in white. Huge community pulling in and just... You make things happen. That's very interesting. Are you talking about the future? You're in a very physical environment, and you age defy by virtue of the fact that you are extremely fit and healthy and radiant, etc. You say you're turning 50, and I look at you and think, no, I don't know. There's this like a Dorian Gray painting somewhere where your real age is hidden away. But it's a fact. We all get older, and time tends to fly. I think the past 19 years have literally flown. We were discussing your kids, who I knew were tiny yesterday.
Yeah.
And now one is in matric and the other very close to it.
Yeah.
And they're all about to leave and become wonderful successes. Hopefully, we always hope for the best.
Yeah, I mean,
what does the future hold for you?
So for me,
where do you want to be in 5 years, 10 years?
Yeah, I think, you know, time goes so fast, Dave, and I'm quite a live in the moment person. To be honest with you, I want to maximize every day I have of my life to the best of my abilities, and I also want to just leave a legacy of like living a joyful life. So if I have to think about my five-year plan, Andre will be 60. I will be 55. I still want to do handstands and cartwheels. And on the work side of things, I think just I am such a person of consistency. You know, I grew up in a small town. I went to the same primary school for 7 years. I went to the same high school. And I feel consistency is my secret weapon. So if we can maintain the quality of what we offer at Tashby Pilates and bring more people into that story so that more people are impacted by what we so passionately do on a daily basis, then that for me is the longevity of a five-year plan taken into 10 years, because these past 19 years have come so quick, so fast.
And are you optimistic about the future? And I'm talking personally and about the country that you've chosen to stay in when you could go anywhere in the world.
So, Dave, I actually get that question a lot because, you know, so many people are looking at moving abroad. I think for me, Andre and I lived overseas, so I know what that looks like. We did it for us at the right time. We were young. We had no kids. The biggest blessing for us was to bring our kids up in this environment, in Belito, in this community, where we made sure we surrounded them by life-giving people that speak specifically into their life, so that when they leave, and they should leave, like Asia is busy with university applications, she's got an option to stay here, study online, but she's got a big personality. She needs to go. We know the right values have been instilled in her. And yes, there will be mistakes and there will be hiccups along the way, but we just feel that the time for our kids to go is when they finish school. We've had our time. Unless God's got a great plan and opens a door that we know our souls are meant to partner with, we'll look at it. But for now, we're very happy on the North Coast here. Andre's at the Sharks. He's at Link, working with the Link team once a week, living his unbelievably best life. They bring out his own God-given talents in him that just filters through into his workspace. So I actually can't even tell you how good that is.
Well, you absolutely radiate your faith and your belief and your self-confidence and your self-image and all of those things that come together when you are, I think, in the right space at the right time. And it's wonderful to chat with you, and it's very inspirational to listen to your story and to enjoy the benefits of someone that is so positive and so confident that the best is yet to come.
Amen.
And thank you so much for joining me on the Dave Charles Show this morning. We're going to be playing out with another of your Hillsong selection. It's called Touch the Sky. What's the meaning for you here?
Before we go there, can I just give the listeners one tip, like one driving tip, because most people will probably be driving. Please, can you sit up straight with your head back into your headrest when you drive to save your neck from the neck issues that everyone is facing these days because of phones? So be kind to your body, guys. Lift your chin up. Push your head back into your headrest and breathe. Use your own God-given breath in your lungs so that your body can be rejoicing every day, all the time. That's your responsibility to do that.
There we go. Well spoken. I'll do exactly that. I'm not driving, but I'm sitting up already.
Okay, good. So regarding the song that you asked, Touch the Sky, I think it's just with the heart, having an upright heart of surrender and just knowing your self-worth in who you are through the Holy Spirit.
And this will be up as a podcast. So if you have only just joined us and you want to get the full story, it's available on our website or on our apps. And there'll be a social media video out shortly as well. And you can see how gorgeous Tash B looks. Look at there. I've moved the microphone. You can see there's no way that this lady is half a century old. No.